Our study continues in the 26th chapter of Ezekiel. Last time we'd gotten through the 14th verse, and so we're ready to begin with the 15th verse. This chapter is about the destruction of Tyre. And in the first 14 verses, he describes the destruction of it, the siege of it by Nebuchadnezzar's army. And now beginning with the 15th verse, he gives some very strong figures that show the utter ruin of this city and nation of Tyre. So the 15th verse says, "Thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isle shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee?" So he's showing here that this is going to have a tremendous effect on the nations round about. They're going to see what happens to Tyre, and they're going to be greatly affected by it. And in this verse, he also incidentally shows the terrible punishment that's brought upon Tyre. He says, "When the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee." And no doubt, most of the people in the city of Tyre were slaughtered by the sword. They were brought to death. And then those that were wounded were the only ones left to cry. If you heard a cry from Tyre, it was going to be the wounded that cried. And then they, in all probability, were also slain. There was no mercy shown. There was slaughter made in the midst of them. And their fall would make a sound. It would be known. It would be something that would be spread among the other nations. And so he says here that the isles shall shake at the sound of thy fall. This is going to cause those round about Tyre to take notice, to wonder what happened to this great nation, this great city, this powerful area. Why did it fall? What brought its fall about? Are we going to be next? If Tyre couldn't stand, then surely we cannot stand either. And so this would be a great event for the other nations to take note of. And so he describes the reaction of the other nations in the next verse, 16. "Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments." The princes of the sea. This could be the rulers of the nations round about, the islands round about Tyre, the nations that traded with Tyre, the ones that used the sea for commerce, for trade, for financial wealth. These princes of the sea. It could also be the merchants who did the trading with Tyre. That could be noted then as the princes of the sea. It may also be the captains of the ships who ruled like princes as they brought their ships to and from Tyre with the great trade that went on. So this could refer to captains of the ships, the merchants, or even the actual princes of the nations. But as they see what happens to Tyre, they're deeply affected by it. Affected to the point that they're now willing to forget about their position of authority, their rulership. They're willing to come down from that area and to truly see what may be in store for them. So they're going to come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. This is such an astonishing and disturbing fact that has happened to Tyre that it's going to so deeply affect them that they are going to cease to reign and rule as they contemplate what's happening. Certainly in the cases of the merchants, they would no longer be coming to Tyre. In the cases of the captains of the ships, they'd no longer be bringing their ships into Tyre with the great loads of goods and then carrying them to another place from Tyre. Tyre would no longer be. And so to whatever extent they depended upon Tyre for their power, for their ruling authority, and this in many cases was very great, they would lose that power. They would lose that authority. And they would have to come down off of that throne, have to fold up their princely garments, and no longer be able to reign in that sense. So he says, "They shall clothe themselves with trembling." This would be the same thing as putting on the sackcloth and sitting in ashes. They would be in a state of mourning, in a state of fear, in a state of consternation at what was happening. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. So this was an event of very great note. And to those who depended upon Tyre, it had a deep effect upon their lives. So we see from this prophecy then that not only was Tyre greatly affected, but all of those who depended upon Tyre for their living, for their wealth, for their ability to make trade, they were also going to be very deeply affected. And so verse 17, "And they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and say to thee, How art thou destroyed?" Now, they're going to maybe write some poetry, have some songs, lamenting the fall of Tyre. And they're going to go over the deed in their minds and try to determine how it was brought about. And they're going to ask the question of Tyre, how art thou destroyed? How did it come about? Here you were a city so great, so thriving, so flourishing, so self-sufficient, so powerful. You had money which is the very backbone of the ability to make war and to defend yourself. You had a great army. You were well situated on an island so that the benefits of nature were in your favor. You were beautifully set. You were well built. And you held out so many years, some 13 years against Nebuchadnezzar. And how is it that you actually were then made to fall? And this is an interesting question. And we see that even today, some of the greatest of nations, those that seem to be so secure, those that seem to be so well able to defend themselves, are made to fall. And we saw this, for example, in the case of World War II, when Germany was made to fall, and when the nation of Japan was made to fall. These were strong, fortified nations, able to make war, but they were destroyed. And it was an amazing thing to see it happen. And other nations that seemed to be lesser in stature, lesser able to make war, outlasted and survived them. So, how art thou destroyed that wast inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city, which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it? Now this city, this nation of Tyre, was a city that was inhabited of seafaring men. Men that were able to take a ship and go to far parts of the world. Men that were capable of being very good navigators and sailors and were capable of carrying on this trade that made them such a great city. And they were inhabited by this kind of men. They were self-sufficient. They knew what they were doing. They were good at their business. The renowned city, the city that was famous and it was known for its strength and its ability and its trade and its commerce, which was strong in the sea. Of all the cities of the sea, Tyre was strong and well-known and highly respected for her ability. She and her inhabitants, which caused her terror to be on all that haunt it. Tyre was so powerful that if anybody went against Tyre, if anybody haunted Tyre, then she could bring her terror upon them. She could adequately defend herself. She was well known for her ability to bring her terror. And so that she was respected because of this. She was feared because of this. And so the other nations wonder, how could it happen to you, Tyre? You're so great, you're so powerful, that you were then made to fall. And, of course, this would give them more terror because as they see a city and a nation as strong as Tyre fall, then they wonder how insecure might we be who are lesser able to protect ourselves than Tyre was. And so just as some might take some pleasure in seeing Tyre fall, there was an equal amount of terror. There was an equal amount of fear brought about by her fall because then all could see how insecure they too might be with an army like this of Nebuchadnezzar. So verse 18 says, "Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure." This was going to be a very upsetting event to the other isles, to the other nations, to those round about Tyre. They were going to be most fearful at the prospect of the city and the nation of Tyre falling. And so they tremble in the day of thy fall. This was great news. This was a big event. And it was one that affected the lives of many, many people. And so they shall be troubled at thy departure. This wasn't going to be a satisfying thing to those round about. This was going to take away the living of many, many people. It was going to affect the economy of other islands, of other cities, of other nations. It was going to affect the trade of the whole world for Tyre to fall. And yet God brought it about because this city of Tyre was looking upon the fall of Jerusalem with glee. They were looking upon Jerusalem's fall as being something that was going to enhance their wealth even further. And it displeased God to the point that he wiped out the nation of Tyre. Now, beginning in verse 19, he's going to enumerate some of the things he's going to do to Tyre that's going to bring this trouble on the other isles, that's going to cause them to be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited. This figure of being made like the cities that are not inhabited is one that graphically points out the fact that Tyre is no longer going to be. A city that's not inhabited is a city that doesn't exist. All cities that are considered to be cities are inhabited. But Tyre is going to be made like the cities that are not inhabited. Those cities that used to be but no longer exist. And so he says, that's when I shall make thee a desolate city. You're going to be made to nothing. Now, most nations that have been in existence for any period of time, one or two centuries or more, they have within them many cities that used to be but no longer now exist. And you can go back to the site of these cities and find a few artifacts there, maybe some of the chips of pottery, bits of old lumber or bricks where they used to have buildings, but they're not inhabited anymore, and consequently they no longer exist, and they really are not considered to be then true cities. Well, that's what's going to happen to Tyre. I will make thee a desolate city. There's going to be nothing but desolation here. It's not going to be a civilization. It's not going to be inhabited. It's not going to be where there's any kind of commerce or trade or manufacturing going on. It's going to be desolate. Then he gives another figure in verse 19. When I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great water shall cover thee. Now this is indicating the same as though they were going to sink into the depths of the sea. Like a great ship that would go down. And all that are in the ship go down with it. All the treasures, all the men who man the ship, all the artistry of the day that would be found in that ship, it'll all go down, and the deep shall come upon thee, and great water shall cover thee. Now, those who have witnessed the sinking of a great ship, here they see the magnificent ship, and then moments later, there is nothing but just the surface of the sea. The sea has covered them. Great waters has covered this great ship. And so that's the figure that he gives here of Tyre. It's as though you're going to sink down into the bottom of the sea. And he continues in verse 20, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go to the pit, that thou be not inhabited. Now this figure seems to indicate a picture of those that are taken into the grave. When I shall bring thee down with him that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, all the people in the past who have died and have gone into the graves, I'm going to bring you into the same condition they're in. It's not just a matter of a few of your people dying and going into the grave. It's a matter of the whole city, the whole nation having this happen to it. You're no longer going to be. You're going to be like the people of old time who've been put into the cemetery. And he describes this as, shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited. So Tyre is going to be a city that's been put into the grave, that's gone into the lower parts of the earth, that's gone down into the pit, that is now in the same place of occupancy as those of old time who died. And of course we know that we're all going to eventually be in that condition. But the whole city of Tyre at one time now is going to be put into that condition, so that thou be not inhabited. It's no longer going to be a city. It's going to cease to be. And these are the figures that God has given now to show the destruction that's going to come upon Tyre, the things that are going to be seen and observed by the nations round about. They're going to make these nations troubled. These are going to trouble the other nations, because when they see this happening to Tyre, then they're going to wonder what's going to happen to us then. How are we going to stand? How are we going to survive if so great a city, so great a nation as Tyre has fallen? And in giving these figures, he also puts another phrase in the last part of this 20th verse that is most interesting. He says, "And I shall set glory in the land of the living." Now, this is a very definite indication that he is going to bring habitation and glory back to Israel. Now, the whole reason for this prophecy, the whole reason for making Tyre fall, is because they were gloating over the fact that Jerusalem was falling. They were looking forward to making more profit at the fall of Jerusalem. And so what God is saying here then is that when you're in your time of desolation and you no longer exist, you no longer inhabited, I'm going to set glory in the land of the living. Israel's going to come back. They're going to continue to exist at a future time. They're going to have glory at a future time in the city of Jerusalem, the city that you are so competitive with and so desirous to see fall. I'm going to set glory in the land of the living. Now, I would like to notice the fact that he calls this the land of the living. This was the place where they served the true and living God. It was the place where they offered the sacrifices that were pleasing to him, the kind of worship that was pleasing to him, the place in which life, that is, spiritual life, was given. So when you stop and look at life and what life is all about, you see then that the place where spiritual life is really the place that is the land of the living. And since this rebuilding of Israel was a type of the church, then we can see also that it's intended that the church today be known as the land of the living. For it today is the place where the true sacrifices are made. It today is the place where spiritual life is found. This is where the true God, this is where the living God abides today. This is where he is worshipped today. This is where he is served today. And those who are outside of the realm of the church then are really not in the land of the living, because there's no life promised to them. There's no spiritual life there. And those who have spiritual life, those who are in the church, they are the ones then who are going to be allowed to inhabit the land of the living. Ultimately, the land of the living is going to be heaven itself. That's where everlasting, eternal life is going to be. And since we read about these problems that Tyre is going to have, how Tyre is going to go down into the grave, and we realize that eventually in this life, all of us also are going to have to go into the grave, we really do not have life here in the sense of everlasting life. Eventually, we're going to be in the same condition Tyre is in, unless we have this promise of spiritual life, everlasting life. And that'll be, of course, in the land of the living. That'll be in the place where this true God is served. That'll be in the place where we know that there's a living God, and we give our lives and commit ourselves to him and his service. So I shall set glory in the land of the living. This Tyre that was so envious of Jerusalem, he's telling them there's coming a time when Jerusalem is going to come back and you're going to be gone. And verse 21, "I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more." Now, what he's really saying here, he's tying all this in. The fact that they're going to be desolate, the fact that they're going to be covered over with the great waters, the fact that they are going to be like the cities that are not inhabited, the fact that they're going down into the grave. These are the things that will make thee a terror. These are the reasons why the other isles that are in the sea will be troubled at thy departure, is because they see the terrible calamity that comes upon Tyre, and then they wonder what's going to happen to them. Now, you know, earlier he said that Tyre had made itself a terror. That is, Tyre had asserted itself over those round about. Now the destruction of Tyre is going to make it a terror, but it's a different kind of a terror. It's a terror now due to the fact that Tyre has so utterly been made to fall. So I'll make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. You're not going to exist anymore. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. This prophecy, according to all that I can understand, has been fulfilled. Tyre has never been rebuilt as it was, never been rebuilt in the same place that it was. There's another city there that's known as Tyre, but it's not the Tyre of old. It's not the Tyre that we're talking about here. It's never achieved anywhere near the prominence, the trading capacity, the impact upon the world that the old Tyre had. Tyre was a city renowned in the world. It was a city whose loss was felt by the world. It was a city who had a tremendous effect upon the economy of the world. But never again has that happened. Never again has that been built. As a matter of fact, that island is a place for fishermen's nets, as the Bible says. There may be that those that would seek for it, those that would like to have it. He says, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. And we're going to see in the next chapter that really a picture of the greatness that Tyre did have and the tremendous impact that it had upon the economy and upon the nations of the world during the time that it existed. But God prophesied it would be brought down, and it was brought down, and that prophecy stands true today. Well, that's the end of the 26th chapter. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.